right, welcome to Homer and Back, the official podcast of Streaking the Line. My name's Pierce. I've got some very special guests tonight with me to discuss football-related matters. First up, we got Caroline.
Hi, how's it going?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Oh, fantastic.
Excellent. I've also got another Streaking the Line colleague, Matt. How's it going?
Good. How's it going, guys?
Doing well. And then we've got a very, very special guest tonight joining us from Jacksonville, taking some time away from his preseason work, a former Cavalier standout lineman, Luke Bowacko. How are you, Luke? Thanks so much for joining us.
What's up, guys?
Hey!
We are here. We are here to discuss all the exciting things we've been reading about, you know, the training camp for the Hoos. And certainly, Luke, you know, your time at UVA, coming around of spring and having that summer off, what's it like coming back to grounds, getting ready for the season? How is training camp in college?
It's one of the best times of your life, and it's, you know, obviously physically and mentally grinding. But, you know, you spend about a month with your, you know, close to 90 or however, how many guys are on a football team in college anymore? It's like 105. Spend a month with your 105 closest friends and you're together 24 hours a day. And obviously you're grinding through practice, but there's a lot of meetings, a lot of just hanging out in the locker room and doing nonsense. So it's one of the most fun times of your life, and you'll, you know, stuff you never forget.
Awesome. Does it compare to the NFL training camp? I guess that probably is a little more business oriented. But
yeah, I mean, in a lot of ways, yes. But, you know, also there's a lot more, like you said, business. And sometimes guys that you're hanging out with one day aren't there the next day. So in college, there's a lot more certainty about where you're going to be the next day. Sometimes that's not the case in the pros. But you try to have fun with it. And the mental definitely becomes a little bit more, it becomes more of a mind game. And you got to be able to keep a level head, as opposed to college, where you're just looking forward to block party and getting hammered. So,
spoken like a true Wahoo, I would think. Well, give us before we get started with, you know, about training camp stuff from the Hoos and whatnot. Why don't we talk a little bit more about your time at UVA? Do you have any favorite memories, whether it be games or plays or even non football related things? Totally.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you guys know just as well as I do, but, you know, the only really successful season, I guess, was 2011. And that season was like a heck of a ride, being able to win at Florida State, win at Miami on Thursday night. Obviously, fell short in the bowl game, but that was an awesome year. A lot of great players on that team, too, that are playing in the NFL now. But, you know, even still, I mean, with all the losses that we incurred in almost always heartbreaking fashion, all those games, and even after the game, just like sitting around complaining to each other about why we lose every freaking game. all those memories that you have, they never go away. And all those guys are still my greatest friends, obviously. So, you know, that stuff, awful. Like, Saturdays sometimes are awful, but overall, like, the best years of my life at UVA.
Good stuff. I mean, that FSU game down in Tallahassee, that had to be not only nerve-wracking, I remember with all the field goals and the catch that wasn't a catch, and so that stopped the clock and all that craziness. I mean, that's probably one of my favorite YouTube highlights in terms of games to watch, especially to see all the FSU fans celebrate like they won and had it out. But I remember you got offered by FSU when you were playing at Centerville and still came to UVA instead of the Powers. Was that a special game for you to go down there and beat them?
Well, in the most respectful way, I think if I had gone to Florida State, I don't think I would have seen a down of football, and I'd be like, I don't know, driving a trash truck right now. So it's like, I'm blessed. But no, I was already committed to UVA. So, and plus, like, there's a lot of guys that are a lot like me at UVA as opposed to some of the guys at Florida State. So I think, like, I found a great group of guys that, like, I got along with and knew from recruiting trips, like Ross, Matheny, and those guys. So I didn't want to take a chance at Florida State and go sit behind, like, all pro guys for 5 years.
My favorite memory from that Florida State game, so random, with Thompson Brown being the guy that forced the QB out of the pocket. or that's a Miami game. But just the fun stories from that season where it was Thompson Brown who then joined the lacrosse team, which we've been watching him play and just finished up his time there, which is always a fun, such a random like connection.
Yeah, there was a lot of just madness.
You've got a couple UVA guys on the Jacksonville roster. I think you've got Pastore and you've got Leroy Reynolds. Are you guys close there? Does it help having a couple other UVA guys when you're breaking into the league and things like that?
Absolutely. When I first got down here last year, they put my locker right next to Austin's, actually, and Leroy's is about 6 or 7 down the row. But being able to, you know, be next to Austin and have him just, like, carry me around and stick up for me and all that stuff and hopefully do away with the static. I lived with him for a couple of months when I first got down here, so I didn't have to get a place, and it everything was like really helpful just being able to have those guys around, and it still is.
Yeah, that's huge. What's it like going through the process, graduating and obviously going to camps and working towards the draft and stuff? You were drafted in the 6th round, so you turned in Thursday night, glued to your phone and TV, and just waiting to hear your name call?
I am like maybe the most realistic, bordering pessimistic people of all time. I was not watching the draft on Thursday or Friday.
Right.
I mean, I stuck around. I got my master's. Like I didn't go anywhere to train. I trained at UVA, so I was there all spring. On Saturday morning when like we kind of had an idea if I'd get picked, me and my dad went out to play golf and, you know, got pretty drunk and ended up getting called a little bit later in the day, and it all worked out. But no, I wasn't bending over the TV all day, that's for sure.
Well, even getting the call that, you know, you've been picked up in the 6th round, I assume that's got to be an amazing feeling, especially if you're hanging out with your dad at the time. 4 years of hard work come, you know, maybe only a successful season or two, but, you know, lose the Peach Bowl. But then all of a sudden, you know, you're going to be playing professionally. That's got to be a good time.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. In the NFL, it's a little different than, like, geez, that's distracting. Sorry. In the NFL, it's a little different than, like, the MLB when, like, they scroll your name, like you, that's when you first find out you're drafted. Right. I got the call a little bit earlier, and I was on the phone when my name scrolled and my parents went crazy and I'm still on the phone. So it was like it really was a wild ride. It was a dream come true, honestly.
That's awesome. Well, maybe a couple more things about UVA before we get into this. Where's your favorite spot in the corner?
I mean, I think I have like real estate in Boylan Heights. So, I mean, if I didn't say, I might be contractually obligated, which I'm sure doesn't surprise you or anyone listening, because
not at all. How about do you make it back to Charlottesville very often?
Let's see. I guess last time I was there was for Foxfield, which again shouldn't surprise anyone. God dang! I'm finding out I'm more of a degenerate more and more.
I distinctly remember, I think, running into you at Chris Long's plot 1 year. So,
I was back there with all the guys and just debauch. But we didn't get into any trouble, so it's all good.
Yeah,
right? Yeah, hey, absolutely. That's what Foxfield debauch, is for. Right?
Exactly.
Yes.
We're all very much adults there. All right. So have you guys been following some of the practice reports from fall camp for the Hoos coming up? I know like Andrew Ramspacker on Daily Progress, some good stuff. Obviously a ton of media outlets there. Hearing good things about TJ Thorpe. So we've got some exciting incoming transfers that get to play right away because of that graduate transfer rule. There's TJ Thorpe, the receiver, is coming in from Carolina, and then there's the running back coming in from Maryland. Basically, all our rival teams have sent us their graduate students to play.
We got Hopkins from Stanford, which sounds like fancy school from fancy school, but Hopkins from Stanford is good.
Smart Charlie Hopkins. School rival. Seems like Thorpe's a player. I mean, he showed real well in the spring game for sure.
Spring game was the first time we've successfully run a jet sweep in 5 years.
But no one was there to see it, so it's cool.
Aw, I was there.
Oh, that wasn't supposed to be a dick. I wasn't there either.
Well, you've been busy.
Before I go to a spring game.
I'm super excited about TJ Thorpe. I mean, I was at the game last year when he caught the pass that beat us, you know, when we played Carolina. But what's been exciting to see is not just the spring game, but since camp has started, I think they said something like 11 for 11 on the first, you know, group of passes that he caught. No one had seen him drop anything. And he was going up against guys like Quinn Blanding, who you've got to be excited about for the season. So it's nice to see some of the wide receivers with such depth this year that you're pulling out those guys. I'm excited to see him play in orange and blue rather than the navy blue and that other blue that we don't like to talk about.
Definitely the O-line should be a big spot. I mean, there's a lot of talent, a lot of depth, you know, guys who've gotten some experience now. I think we go, you know, a pretty legit two deep on the offensive line, which it's been shaky in recent years in terms of certainly in terms of depth. Maybe since that 2011, this might be maybe the higher expectations for the offensive line. But conversely, the D-line's replacing a lot of talent. I mean, we got senior Mike Moore there and David Dean, obviously five-star Andrew Brown coming in for his second year. But, you know, anytime you're replacing a guy like Eli Harold, that's going to be something. So that's probably my biggest question mark for the team coming up. And you know, it's only 3-4 practices in to light pad work. So remains to be seen, I think, how the front seven's going to look for sure. Matt, are you you got anything specific you're excited to read about or looking forward to seeing in the fall?
I actually think the D line's going to be pretty good this year. I think Dean and Wilkins up the middle are great. Having Brown as a rotation D tackle is some great depth that I don't think a lot of teams have. I think linebacker will be really interesting because it looks like Stalker is going to start there, the true freshman who enrolled in the spring, along with, you know, just a whole brand new group of starters there. I want to see how on the offensive side, I want to see how Smoke does in the full season as a number one running back, and whether we're going to run him into the line on first down every single time or actually let him use some speed and the ability he has, because I think he can be really, really good if we, you know, get creative for once.
Yeah, I think, like, I agree with a lot of what you guys said. I think this is like one of the most talented rosters that they've had in a while. I mean, Quinn in the back might be one of the best prospects we've seen out of UVA, and, you know, maybe since Chris Long, he's going to be a special player. But just like the depth at receiver, when I was there, I mean, all the skill guys, basically, we had some pretty good offensive and defensive linemen, but the skill guys were all really young. So it'll be fun to see those guys that I was there with when they were young. It'll be fun to see them finally grow up or in a position where those are the older guys expected to make plays, like Kanan and Zach Bradshaw. Those guys are all getting older and now they're in a position to make plays. So it should be fun to watch. I think they're going to, they'll have a pretty experienced and, you know, deep roster.
Luke, how important is it going into the season? It's probably one of the first in a while that there's been kind of a determined starter with our boys, Matty John starting at quarterback. How important is that for just the team and the offense as a whole, knowing that fact going into the first game?
I mean, I can't say enough about how important that is. And it's not even like at this point, like the first year when there was like a QB controversy, it doesn't matter. But when you're in like year five and there's been a QB controversy every year, like it gets to the point where you're like, dude, just freaking pick one, you know? It's like, give someone the job, even if it's not the right choice, like just do it. So at this point, like, and, you know, Matt Johns is, like, the most likable guy of all time. Mm-hmm. It's the same way in a locker room. Like, he is, like, one of those guys that you just kind of, like, gravitate to. So, and he's a hell of a football player. So, it should be – I mean, he should have a hell of a year. I'm excited to watch him. He's got weapons. And, you know, he's got his boy there, Kanan Severin. So, he likes to feed Kanan. I'm sure they live together. So, it should be fun to watch a couple of those guys put up some numbers this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, Luke, so I think we all think the team's got a lot of talent, but I guess the issue I think a lot of fans have had in the past couple of years is when you look at the schedule and you see, you know, at UCLA, obviously Notre Dame we didn't pick, but we ended up there. We got Boise. When you're coming in off on a team that hasn't had success in the past couple of years and you look at the schedule like that, does that ever creep into your mind as you're going into training camp, or are you really able to just sort of stay focused week by week?
I mean, it's like a it's an interesting balance, right? Because like as a player, you want to play the best, and like, and you definitely don't want to like suggest that you don't want to play the best. Like that's like a sacrilegious, right? Like, to mention or to like hint to the fact that you don't want to play Oregon because you know you're going to get your shit kicked in. But no, I mean, I think that a lot of that stuff was probably planned at a point when we thought that maybe the program's trajectory was going to be at a different, you know, growth rate than it is or has been. Mm-hmm. And then I think on top of that, we've had a little bit of bad luck scheduling, you know, mid majors that have actually been good when we played them. Like Ball State had a hell of a year when they beat us. True. Louisiana Tech had a hell of a run and they ended up going like 1-11 the next year, even Southern Miss back in, you know, a couple years ago. So there's a lot that goes into it. The one year we were good when we beat Indiana on the last play of the game and and Idaho, who combined to win two games. I mean, a lot of that stuff is really just, it's hit or miss, and you never know what will happen. And it's college football. So, I mean, this year you could have like a gauntlet schedule and end up winning 7 or 8 games that you had no idea you could win.
Which game are you most excited to see the Hoos play this year?
Tech.
Yeah, all right.
And those guys stink. I mean, they're not even good at football. Like, they kick their ass every year. 2011 might be the most like humiliating loss of my career, and I've like, I mean, I've had some losses. I've seen some shit, guys. Like, went out there to freaking go to the freaking coast, like win the coast, and we lost 42 to like -100. I almost wore bag out of the freaking stadium in my head.
Did you
I was a first year when Virginia last beat Virginia Tech, so hey, you can do the math.
Matt Schaub, fake field goal, touchdown.
Damn straight, Heath Miller.
the gilded age.
Yeah, truly. With the horn helmets. Good times. Luke, did you get 12, to watch the Tech game last year?
I think I watched almost every game. I mean, yeah, I think I watched every game. Paul Friedman, like probably my best friend, bet on every game. So I was watching to like, you know, cheer him on or cheer against him, whatever, you know, whatever it had, you know, worked out. But honestly, the best game for me last year was Miami because my roommate on away trips, who actually started right next to me at right guard for the Jags, went to Miami.
Oh,
and
delightful.
And so, and we dominate Miami for whatever reason. Like every year you can kind of chalk up Miami to a win. And I had made a bet with him. He like didn't want to bet money, but I had a helmet and a jersey down here. And if we won, he had to wear it 24/7 to meetings, to lunch, to breakfast. Like if he was in the facility, he had to be wearing it. And we won that game. And it was like the most satisfying win of my life.
That's awesome.
He's just walking around with a freaking football helmet and my like sophomore year jersey on. It was brilliant.
That's amazing.
I've seen a lot of that with the baseball alums in the majors, especially with the Vandy series. I mean, there's a lot of UVA guys, a lot of Vanderbilt guys. So it's good to know that even the football team can you know, bring our professional alumni some bragging rights from time to time.
Oh, it's even better because we're like it's like satire almost. Like, oh, UVA won. You're wearing UVA stuff because we won a game. Like, think about that for a second. It's awesome. I love it.
Yeah, I think I got in a discussion today about whose seat is hotter, Al Golden or Mike London's, which could probably be a whole podcast unto itself. But, you know, Miami can't keep losing to us, and we can't keep losing football games. So that's a must-win right there in Miami this year. Let's see, that game's in November, sort of later in the season.
Yeah.
You know what game I think keeps being overlooked? Because we start with UCLA, and, yeah, I mean, we played them tough last year. You don't throw so many turnovers that maybe we actually win that game. But, you know, UCLA is certainly marquee, even though they had maybe somewhat disappointing last year, even though they got 10 wins. But people were talking about them being a national title contender. And then, obviously, we got Notre Dame coming to the house for the first time. But Boise State is the fourth game of the year. And yeah, we got William and Mary that we, you know, hope to God chalk that up to a win. So at least, You know, depending on what happens in the first game, maybe who knows? I, like we said, there's a lot of talent on this team.
I was there for it. It was. Lost to William Mary. I know the deepest deeps.
That William Mary game was my first game that I went to as a student. It was my first year as an undergrad, and I remember sitting on the hill for like half an hour afterwards, expecting them to come back out and keep playing.
Just like, this can't be my
this
next 4 years.
Nope.
Aw, well, at least at UVA we you know had other things to go cheer for too. This has been a really depressing podcast, guys.
I know.
Well, Luke, let me ask you about basketball. I know you've been very vocal on Twitter supporting the Hoos, obviously, but ever any ounce of cheering for Maryland still coming out, you know, even if it's secretly? Maybe we'll cut it out of the podcast, I will promise. But,
No, I grew up a Maryland fan. I was my mom went there, and I was born in Annapolis. So I lived in Maryland for first, you know, half of my life, quarter of my life. So. But, you know, they didn't offer me, and I didn't, you know, and in the end, I'm freaking glad I didn't go there. So I'm all in on the Hoos. And it was like first year, I was still kind of rooting for Maryland, and Jake Snyder and those guys used to give me so much crap. And I was like, no, it's cool. And then Gary Williams kind of gave me an out. I was like, all right, Gary's gone. I'll go.
You and Justin Anderson. Started,
I'm like a bandwagon fan. I mean, thank God I went there or else like it would really be bad, but. I'm a bandwagon fan.
I think when you come and play for the school, you're allowed to join the bandwagon for sure.
All right, cool. I'll take it.
I think everyone would be okay with that. Now, you know, Gary Williams actually cursed at me once, which I know this podcast isn't about me, but I will throw out there that I was working for the fan patrol, and it was like cleaning up the paint guy for the halftime, you know, the guy who paints really fast.
Yeah.
At halftime basketball games. And I was putting his crap back together and trying to get it off the court, and Maryland and Gary Williams came out, and he said, "Get this shit out of there get the F out of my way," or something like that. I turned around and in a moment of true brilliance told him, well, something I'm not going to be on record, but I wasn't polite back and turned around and walked away. So that was my moment of 5 seconds in front of Gary Williams. But anyway,
we should all be still sending him thank you notes for Justin Anderson. So
yeah, truly,
absolutely,
truly. Why don't we talk a little bit about expectations for the season? We can talk about expectations for the Jags season first, if you want, Luke. How many wins do you see coming down in Jacksonville?
Well, the NFL is a funny thing. You got to kind of wait until preseason's over before you can start projecting wins. You never know where you'll be sometimes in this profession, but
for sure.
we have a very talented roster, and what do I know? I'm like a second year guy, but we brought in a lot of guys from other places in free agency, and then drafted some guys, and you know, guys that are my age that played a lot last year. We started like 7 rookies on offense, so we're in our second year, and it should be fun. I mean, we're definitely better than we were last year, but I mean, NFL, like everyone gets better in the offseason. Everyone kind of has that, like, you know, that mentality that they're going to win a bunch of games. But, you know, I think we'll be much improved. Better than 3-13 that we put up last year, that's for sure.
Luke, how do you like living in Jacksonville? I spent about 6 months down there for some training once, and I was in the St. Augustine area, but how do you like Jax?
So damn hot.
I know.
it's like a sleepy city. It's not like a bustling downtown. Like right now we stay downtown in like the biggest hotel, the whole team, like when we're during training camp. So the fact that they can like rent out an entire hotel says a lot about Jacksonville. But I live out at the beach. It's like, you know, it's just like a beach town. There's a couple like, you know, beach bars, just like walk in with flip flops and stuff. And you know, that's basically what you get. You see what you get. And you know, but it's good for me. There's a little bit of golf and not a lot of areas that can get in trouble. So
the beach was fun. The landing's not a bad spot either. For a couple of good restaurants and stuff like that. I was over at the Navy base, so less exciting over there. But I don't recommend Orange Park. It's just not much to see. There's a good Chick-fil-A, you know, that's about it.
Chick-fil-A's everywhere.
I know.
Luke, going back to UVA for a second, if I've got my timeline correct, you were recruited by Al Groh, right? And then I think had him for 1 or 2 years and then London for the rest of your career. What was it like playing for different guys like that and adapting coaches, you know, midway through your career away from the guy who recruited you?
Al Jeezy. I was pretty blessed because the one holdover happened to be Coach Dex who recruited me. So I was I had that kind of carryover through the staffs. And but, you know, that I was too dumb to know better. They were there for my first year, and I was just kind of like, I was 240 pounds more interested in dance night than football practice. So I was skipping class. I was like, no, I had practice this morning. Like, I'm too tired to go to class. So I had like the worst mindset you could ever have. And then like Coach London came and like kicked some I mean, I don't know if it was him specifically or I just like woke up and realized I was like a huge loser. but, you know, eventually I got my act together and, but, you know, London is a very, like, a completely different guy than Groh. And for better or worse, like, they both have very great qualities. And, you know, I love them both for what they've offered me throughout my career. But, yeah, it wasn't a huge deal. I think it was more me just, like, growing up from this. You could argue I haven't grown up still. But I like to say I did.
But that in London was a cop. I don't know if you knew that.
London was a cop. Yeah. Yeah, so I guess that was always hanging over your head.
Well, I think, I mean, I don't mean to speak for the entire streak in the line staff, but I think it's pretty fair to say that obviously we're all UVA fans and we all go to every game hoping that they win and, you know, wanting a winning program here. So all pessimistic jokes aside, I think all of us would love to see Coach London succeed and have a turnaround year and such. I know we discussed the difficulty of the just on paper the schedule, but do you follow any of that hot seat stuff or just like have an expectation of if they make a bowl, go 6-6, is that something that would demonstrate to you as an alum, as just a fan of the sport, as some, you know, something to build on and keep going forward with Coach London?
Yeah, I don't know what his like contract is specifically. What does he have? Does he have a year? He got a year extension or 2 years?
He's got this season. I think it runs out at the end of this season. Someone correct me on that if I'm wrong.
I'd have to
sounds,
look it up.
Yeah,
we'll get,
sounds
we'll
about
get
right.
Our stat boy on it.
I know when they extended him before the Tech game, that kind of like gave me a sour taste in my mouth. And not like I've said obviously that like I really do appreciate what Coach London's done for me and everything, but as like if I was the athletic administrator of a major university and like the team hadn't beat my rival in 10 years and you extend them before the game, like it seems like you'd wait until after. I don't know. But
yeah,
no, I mean, 6-6 is if 6-6 is if it's good, I don't know. Is it how he goes 6-6? I guess it just kind of. It's one of those things that as it happens, like, do they win their first four and then lose like six in a row and then like scrape by the last two? I don't know. Yeah. Hopefully it like kind of works itself out and it's plain and obvious what the direction of the program should go. But I don't know. I'm hoping more for the kids and the guys that I know and grew up, watched grow up and over the years, I hope for them that it's a positive year more than anything.
For sure. And certainly we all hope the same way too. I don't know. Do you guys want to throw out some win totals? Maybe Luke, we don't have to put you on the spot, but maybe Matt and Caroline and I will just real briefly.
I think it's going to be the most UVA season ever, by which I mean we're going to win like 9 games. Like, it's going to go fully the other way.
That
you know?
Would be like the we're playing like the Patriots and we're
like just out of everyone just is like, what? You know, take out UCLA on the road and squeak by Notre Dame at home, you know, all this stuff and then beat Tech to get the 9th win or something and get a spot in the championship game for the ACC. No, I'm all over it.
Yeah,
keyboard cat.
That is quite the prediction.
I'm hoping that's the case because I'm going to be gone for both the William & Mary and Syracuse games, which I feel are actually the only two guaranteed wins. So I'm hoping I get to see a win outside of that.
I think,
but it's like, remember, if they do, if the football team wins 9 games, like the ramifications that could have
I know.
are massive. Like they could do every other sport if they win 9 games, that takes that drains like the UVA karma bank into like a title. we're done.
Also, that means Michigan State's going to transfer into the ACC. Oh, Michigan, yes. Like,
yes, exactly. Michigan State will like drive a stake through my heart for
Tony,
the third straight.
Tony Bennett leaves for Wisconsin before the basketball season starts. Oh,
Tony Bennett leaves for Michigan State and they beat us.
God.
He's like,
oh, this has gone so horribly wrong.
That would make me so sad.
Okay, I take it back. We only win 2 games. 2 games. That's all.
If you're listening to this, Matt Johns, you better not win 3 games.
Matt, what do you see looking at the schedule? Just,
I feel bad because I feel like everything I've said so far has been negative. And that's going to continue because I really do think we have a really good team, and I thought they played well last year, better than 5-7. Again, I think the only games we were really out of was we got blown out by Georgia Tech, and we hung with FSU for a bit, and it sort of got away in the second half. But other than that, every game was right there, so it was kind of frustrating to see them go 5-7, and I think they're going to go 5-7 again. But I think they go 4-7. Beat Tech at home to go 5-7, and then we get London like an 8-0 because we beat Tech.
Oh, I'm fully confident if we go 5-7, but that includes a win over the Hokies, that London stays.
This is not
based on any like inside source or anything, but just my gut feeling with what the administration would do for sure. And honestly, yeah. I wouldn't be that upset. I mean, maybe ask me if it happens. Ask me my feelings then, but.
If we beat Tech, like, ticker tape parade, cancel the program, like, we're done, like, that's it. Everybody go home. That's it. We're good.
And on a good note, yeah. That'd be great. I think I tend to agree, Matt, with your assessment, and I also agree with the idea that we have been sort of pessimistic just because it's been a few pessimistic seasons in a row, man. I mean, we're diehard fans. We're going to be pretty cynical when things haven't been going right. And I think you are right. I think they did play really well in almost every game last year. Just some mistakes here or there. You hear the phrase, like, they just got to find the last piece, you know, tie it all together. Well, you can coach talk that for 3-4 seasons, but if you're not making bowl games, I mean, that's when you get into the hot seat discussion. And
I just want the right number of guys on the field. That's right. That's like my first.
that's still too soon.
Sorry. I just want the right people.
That's still not okay.
Home of the 12th man on the field.
Yeah. Nightmare fuel. Yeah.
Blanco, I want to ask, how many personal fouls penalties do you think you drew in your 4 years of playing?
Dude, honestly, I mean, aside from me just like being an idiot and like jumping off sides, I don't think I had a holding penalty.
Really?
Nice. That's awesome.
Which like is good and bad. And then, or I don't know that I had like any. Oh, I did have one like my last year. I had a helmet to helmet hit.
Oh.
And I crushed this little safety. It was like, it might have been. It might have been after the whistle, too. But it was on Georgia Tech, and we were getting pummeled. And who really cares, you know?
Yeah. Like,
we're out there. It's just a bunch of guys having a good time. The whistle blew 5 seconds ago. You're walking back to the huddle, and I crush you. I mean, my bad.
Hey,
I was rather good. More personal fouls after the game, I think, than during the game.
Spilling drinks at Boylan.
Yeah, Officer Gary threw a couple 15-yarders on me, which we might need to review. But
yeah, we've all been there. Well, I can't let you go before bringing up one more thing about Jacksonville, and it's just my own personal curiosity. But I'm sure there are a lot of UVA fans out there also curious. Our boy Jake McGee, he's in Jacksonville, right? Gainesville, Florida. I don't care.
It's about an hour west, which is basically Jacksonville.
Is he ever going to graduate? Is this it?
Honestly, if he doesn't this year, I'm curious as to where like he goes down and as like you spend 4 years at Virginia, or and then you spend 3 in Gainesville. Like, you might as well just like go back to high school. I don't know where you go.
They send you back to start over.
You go.
Yeah. It's really sad, Jake, you know, because like he wants to be a Wahoo for life so bad, but he's a turncloak.
he couldn't get far enough away that he had to keep orange and blue in his color coordination. But
yeah,
it's a different
yeah.
shade.
I mean,
of blue.
I'll say that about Jake. He like more than anyone probably still. He loves UVA. He loves those guys. Mm-hmm. I think he was just trying to get out of a difficult situation for him. Unfortunately,
for sure.
Yeah,
it worked out great for me. I mean, he transferred down there, and then I show up and like. We hang out like a really good amount. Like I just drive down there and act like I'm in college again. It's perfect.
In a responsible way. Right? Yeah. In a Roger Goodell.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Like we go down. I play a little pinochle.
Yeah. Maybe some mahjong.
Yeah.
Depends. Depends who's in town. I think we all miss Jake too.
I don't want to see.
I wish it had worked out better for him at UVA, but you know.
Yeah. And no deflating balls from you in Jacksonville either, I assume, keeping everything in line.
No, really firm inflated balls down
okay.
here.
Okay, excellent. Good to know. Even in that humidity.
Yeah. I mean, they get like, they sweat sometimes, but they're inflated.
Well, if that isn't the best note to end on,
I don't know what it is. Yeah.
But Luke, thanks so much again for joining us. Appreciate you taking the time out. We'll look forward to seeing the Jaguars. Hopefully, win some games for the Wahoo alums you got there, and maybe win more bets against more ACC former foes.
God, yes. What's really important in life, right?
Exactly. Bragging rights. Maybe we'll get you back on down the road, and we can review the season for the Hoos after they go 9-3, as Caroline
exactly.
predicts.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Looking forward
after
to the
after they
fall.
Win the national championship. And...
I think I saw it. What was it, like 20,000-1 odds or something like that? Or, I don't know.
It was 200.
Guys. We can Yeah.
200-1 for the ACC championship, I think it was. Us in Syracuse. Yeah.
But that's only the ACC? Oh,
yeah, only the ACC.
Yeah. Wow. It's basically free money.
Yeah. Oh.
I think that's what the Jags are to win the Super Bowl.
So you're saying there's a chance.
So if we both do it.
Bet the farm.
Yeah. I could be sleeping on a couch this year.
Well, thanks again, Luke, for joining us tonight. We very much appreciate it. For Streaking the Lawn, my name is Pierce, and I'll sign off for Caroline and Matt. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be back soon. And in the meantime, go Hoos.